Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the only man who speaks in more glowing terms about their spouse than Brad Culpepper, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our week two feedback show here on Rob Has a Podcast. And I'm very excited to bring in my lovely spouse, the first lady of podcasting, back on the voicemails here for the first time in about a year and a half, not since October 16th, 2015. Here is the great Nicole Cesternino. Nicole, how are you?
Hello, everybody. I'm calling it now. Hashtag.
What's the hashtag up front?
Hashtag WWND.
WWND. What
yes.
would Nicole do?
Okay. Yes.
All right. We kind of touched on that already with the Vetus podcast last week, but all right, fine. Let's get that up front.
Oh, yeah, all right. If Vetus called it, I'm throwing it back.
No. It's an interesting idea and something that I had toyed around with that one of the listeners actually said to me on Snapchat recently. Hey, why don't you give this the hashtag at the front of the show and then people can tweet about the show with the hashtag. So let's try it your way.
Okay.
And see what the response is. Of course, Nicole, as a lot of the patrons know, is trying on new Twitter profile names.
Yes.
That at Nicole Loves Shoes, you feel like that's over. You need a game changer on your Twitter.
Yeah, you know what? I've grown up like a bunch of the Survivor game changers, and I'm changing it up a bit.
Okay, well, I'm very excited to get into the voicemails here with you after another interesting week of Survivor game changers. I was very nervous if this was going to happen during the day today. You know, I'm just up here, up in the studio, working, podcasting, trying to put food on the table for my family. And I just hear a lot of yelling going on downstairs.
There's no yelling.
I was very concerned the whole day. You were just going to, at some point, just open the door and say, that's it. I'm done.
I think the yelling you may have heard was actually me watching Survivor and them, like, because I had to put the volume on 70 to get to, so I could hear it over the kids.
Okay, I was just hearing the survivors yes. yelling at each other.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what was going on. Mm-hmm. All right, I was very concerned the whole day today.
No, I totally ignored.
I thought you were going to back out.
No, I ignored our children.
I was going to be hashtag stood up.
No, I ignored our children
yes.
and watched Survivor.
Now, you actually, just to give a little background here, you actually binge watched the whole season today. You had not seen the premiere, you binge, so it should be all very fresh in your mind. So there's no question we can ask you today that you'll be stumped.
I did change two diapers in the middle of it, so let's hope it wasn't those moments.
Okay, all right. So we got a lot of stuff to get to here with Nicole. I'm very excited because you and I have not really spoken about the season at all. So this should be a fun topic of conversation. I know people probably think that all we do is talk about Survivor when we're not on the air. But au contraire, that is not the case.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we have so many other topics that we need to discuss.
Yes.
So many other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so
I see Rob for about 20 minutes a day.
Yes, but it's the highlight of your day.
We could call it that.
Okay. Well, you know what you could do? You could subscribe to the podcast and then you could, you know, hear me talk all day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem interesting to you to subscribe to the podcast.
I am subscribed.
Yes.
Yes.
On what device?
I think on my iPhone.
You don't. Give me that phone. I guarantee you're not subscribed to the podcast.
I have 18% battery right now.
Okay.
And I have to Insta story this whole thing.
Look up robhasawebsite.com/iTunes to subscribe. Survivor Know It Alls right now in the iTunes store as we're recording this Thursday night. Number 3 podcast in TV and film.
Wow. This one's going to beat that.
Hopefully. We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, so we got a lot. Of course, the Know It Alls that I mentioned. That's number 3 podcast. I don't know how the rest of the podcasts are doing. My exit interview with Beast Mode Cowboy. And then I had a very interesting podcast. This is a real throwback week for me that I spoke with Johnny Fairplay for about 2 hours this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
It was very fun to catch up with Johnny Fairplay.
What is he up to?
The first, well, you know, if you were subscribed to the podcast.
Whoa, speaking of yelling.
Okay. He's doing very well.
Uh-huh.
Quit drinking. Is getting baptized, has another baby on the way.
What?
Doing great. I mean, you and I know Johnny Fairplay forever.
For a long time.
Yeah, 13 years that I know
Johnny Fairplay.
Uh-huh.
So that was a very fun, and again, a real throwback to that. You know, I used to just do the podcast with you. For those of you new listeners, I started podcasting in 2010.
I was the OG.
During Heroes versus Villains. That was the first episode that we went podcasting about Sandra. Now here we are
here
again.
Here we are again, yeah.
And now, you know, 7+ years later, here we are, and he was the first guest. So it's a real throwback week. We're partying like it's 2010 around here.
Yeah, that was a good year.
Okay. Yep. A lot of stuff going on in 2010. All right. So, Nicole, for the listeners who have last heard you on the Survivor cast preview.
Yes.
That just in case that people, you know, for the patrons hear you every week. And I did think we had a very fun patron 5 for 5 this
fun.
Week. I thought that was one of the better ones that we did this past week. How have you been the last couple of weeks since the cast preview?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Same old, you know.
Same old, same old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything exciting going on?
No.
Okay. All right. Well,
did I do a mom's night out? I don't remember.
Not since then.
Yeah. So then nothing.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Actually, no, you did do one. You did the one where you didn't get that drunk.
Yeah. Yes. It wasn't that fun.
And then you had to get up early because I needed to talk to the Big Brother cast mates and you weren't happy.
Right.
You weren't happy about that. Okay. All right. Well, Nicole, of course, let's just get your big picture view on everything going on with Survivor, as then we'll dig into the feedback questions from the listeners. So you're 3 hours into Survivor Game Changers. You're finally caught up with the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your take overall on the new season?
I'm really liking it.
Yes. You really like it. Why?
I feel like there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of strategy. There's a lot of twists. I like the location. I like the three tribes. I'm really liking it.
You're really liking it. Now,
yeah.
I know that you were probably very upset to see Tony go home. And a lot of people think that I am the biggest Tony fan in the house. But many people don't know this, that you are actually a big Tony fan. And not only that, you and Tony like are very good friends.
We're pen pals.
Pen pals, right. You talk to Tony like all the time.
Not all the time, but we talk over social media through DMs.
Yes.
Which I haven't responded to his last one, but I have to write him back. But yeah.
You're leaving Tony hanging.
I did because I didn't see the previous, I didn't see the episode
he
yet.
He was spoiling you that you hadn't seen Survivor yet a week later?
No, he wasn't spoiling me. I had to wait.
Yeah.
So I'll respond tomorrow.
Okay. And Tony, he was your favorite on this season?
I love Tony. He's really great to watch on TV, and he's like my bestie in real life.
Yes, and he reminds you of members of your family because he's loud and crazy.
Yes.
All right. So obviously, just to do the full catch up then, Sierra went out first.
Yes.
Any reaction to that?
I think we kind of expected that a little bit in our.
I don't know if we thought first, but neither of us were particularly high on her.
No, she came out swinging right from the start.
Yeah,
of course
you're
going to go.
She needed to take a step backwards instead of, you know, she wasn't that aggressive, but.
She was aggressive enough where she just couldn't stop talking.
Aggressive enough that people like saw just a little bit of it and said, okay, this is no good.
This is day one.
Okay. And then Beast Mode Cowboy. I don't remember what your take was on Beast Mode Cowboy from 1.0.
What do you mean? Did my opinion change of him?
Yeah. Did you like him better this time around?
He seemed to have been a little bit more mellow.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Well, I mean, certainly from Big Brother, but I think that, he was fine. He was sort of like a, you know, there was no flaw in anything that he did the first time around. And this time,
Number 9 is not his lucky number.
It's not his lucky number.
Yeah.
Do you have a lucky number?
13.
13.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? For A-Rod?
Yeah. Well, when I liked him, he was 3.
Mm-hmm. So any particular reason or are you just making stuff up?
I don't know. That was my number like back in the day when we had pagers and we had to like leave our codes
you had
at the
pager.
End. Yes.
Okay. Do I want to know any of your pager stories?
I had to be in constant contact with my friends.
Why?
Because that's what you did when you were cool.
I wouldn't know. Okay. I'm going to get a pager
you
now.
You never had a pager?
No, I never had a pager. Who needed to beep me?
I don't know. Maybe your mom?
No, I didn't have a pager so my mom can beep me.
I'm sure she would have given it to you, though.
No, I don't think I would have been allowed to have a pager. My parents didn't let me do anything.
Yeah.
That's why I have to be a grown man podcasting in my pajamas all day, because my parents didn't let me do anything.
You look very, very nice in your new shirt, though.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. That it's, you know, it's very hard for me to get a compliment from Nicole.
You know, because it's like a baseball type of shirt. It's yes. Very, I like it.
And it's one of the 5'4 shirts that I got.
Thank
some.
You, 5'4.
I got clothes from 5'4 that they are a sponsor of the podcast. And Nicole was saying I couldn't pull off the jacket. Nicole said I couldn't pull it off, but I'm happy to hear you actually liked something that they sent me on me.
No, and it also, you can tell you're working out in that shirt.
Oh, all right. Well, now Nicole is really trying to butter me up so I don't give her any brain busters on this voicemail podcast. All right, so Nicole, see, I was worried you were in a bad mood.
You always think I'm in a bad mood, and I'm not.
Because you do have resting bad mood face.
It's resting face.
Well, I was trying to clean it up.
And I had this since you've met me, so I don't know why.
No, not as much. Not as much.
I take care of two boys all day long. You would have this too.
Okay. All right. So, Nicole, let's get into these questions. And why don't we start off? A lot of people wanted to talk about the goat stuff.
Yes.
Okay. A lot of people wanted to talk about that. And why don't we start off with a question from an old friend of the podcast. Here's Syrup Guy, and Syrup Guy has some thoughts about the goat. Here's Syrup Guy.
What's up, Robin, Nicole? Syrup Guy calling. With Goatgate going how it went, was that because of the Sia money? They just saw the Korong finale. Are they all trying to get their Sia money? Is this turning into Big Brother where people like James will just run around trying to do things for America, except now you're trying to do things for Sia by saving animals and that sort of thing? Is this really fair? I mean, they're trying to survive, and now they can't even focus on surviving because they want their Sia money? Thanks, guys.
All right, Nicole.
Well, first of all, did Sia, like, has anybody checked the hospitals? Like, was she hospitalized for a panic attack?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows that. I mean, Sia probably had to have gotten very uncomfortable watching everything going on. Let me get your take on everything with the goat from last night. So, Nicole, any issue with how the goat business went down?
You know, I was thinking about this. Like,
a lot of people upset.
Hashtag WWND.
Yes.
I think that I would have probably had the same initial reaction, like, get that goat because I want to eat it.
Right.
Because I am starving and I get hangry.
Yes.
So, but then I think once I saw it, like, I don't think I could have eaten it.
Yeah, I think that this is a common reaction. You know, I'm going to stand up for the survivors and Sandra to some degree. And here's why. When you see an animal on Survivor, I think your first reaction is, oh, get that animal.
Yes.
Get that animal. Let's get it. Everybody does it. Go back to Survivor One World. That around, I think, the final six, everybody there, including Kim, is saying, I think there's like a wild boar that runs through the camp. And everybody's like, oh, we need to catch that. We need to catch that boar and we'll eat it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something to do. Everybody's running around. And then when you actually have the animal in your hands, you know, it's a little, you know, this isn't like a little thing like a chicken.
Right.
Like, you know, you don't have the instruments there. Now, again, Mike Scoopin did catch a boar and kill it. But Mike Scoopin is capable of a lot of things.
He's done a lot of bad things.
This is a crime scene on your hands to try to butcher a goat on Survivor.
And a baby goat.
Right. And I don't know if anybody was going to go through with, like, and again, you know, to defend Sandra, she would have eaten the goat if somebody else would have taken care of it.
Would you have eaten it if someone else took care of business?
Look, I think I would have probably been very concerned with the social politics of everything, where I would not have led the charge, hey, let's go get that goat. If somebody in my tribe, a la the Kucha tribe back in Australia, Survivor Australia or Survivor the Australian Outback, somebody decided to go and kill the animal and it was being prepared and served, I would, if the tribe is eating it, I would also have eaten. I mean, I eat meat.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any, like, I understand a lot of people, have feelings towards animals or are vegan or for whatever reason, don't want to eat meat. And that's fine too. I just think that I would probably be very concerned about the strategy of it. And I just want to say in full disclosure that, again, to defend Sandra on this, that I think that Sandra would tell you, because I may have gotten a text from her today, that she she was not as into eating the goat as the show depicted. Uh-huh. I think that she feels like that the edit was unfair to her in that way. I don't want to put words in her mouth, but... I don't think that Sandra is, somewhere today. You know, damn straight, I eat a goat anytime.
Yeah.
So I just want to be a little fair on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, who knows, how it all played out on the show. But, people are really worked up about the goat.
Okay, but you know what? They didn't eat it, and they let it go.
Yeah,
happy
and that's
ending.
The other thing, that, nothing ended up happening. There was some discussion, should we kill this goat? And then cooler heads prevailed, and they said, no, we shouldn't.
Yeah. And you know what? I think a lot of people put in that position would have probably have done the same thing, chased after it and then decided, no, we can't do this.
Yeah. I think, again, it's the kind of thing where you're a little bit like the dog chasing the car. And they were it was the case of the dog did catch the car and they didn't know what to do with it. Like, okay, great. We got this goat. Now what do? Do we just start murdering this animal? This isn't going to be good for anybody.
And did they even think they'd be able to catch it?
No, I think they thought that, okay, let's just run around, let's chase it. And then I guess that there was the issue ultimately, I think, was that there was, these baby goats, which, what do they call them? Are they Joey's?
I think Joey's a baby kangaroo.
Kangaroo, who knows? I think, is the kid a baby goat?
I have no idea.
I have no idea. We'll have to ask Dominic. Wake him up. We'll have to ask him.
He will know.
And I think that the mom didn't run away because she wanted to be separated.
That was so sweet. And then they were like calling after each other. When they were let free.
Yeah. It was a lot of extenuating circumstances.
Yeah.
Last season, the millennials said, hey, there's a goat. Let's go chase it. Like, what do you think they were going to do? They weren't going on goat rides if they were going to catch it. Survivors see an animal, they chase it. And then this was certainly a case where they said, hey, what are we going to do?
Yeah. And they didn't. So let's all calm down.
Yeah, so don't let's not rake Sandra over the coals too much over this. Nothing ended up happening. All right.
Yeah, they pet the goat. This is what happened.
Right. In terms of Sia, though, how do you think she was doing the coals? Do you think that this was a factor for the survivors of, hey, Ty got a lot of money at the finale last year. Should, by any chance, if we have mercy on this goat, will Sia give us any money?
Sandra's not thinking of that.
Yeah.
She's got her own money.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe a little bit, but I don't know.
If anything, I think that the Sia deal was probably more of a, I thought it was more of a factor last week with Ty and wanting to save all the chickens and people saying boy, is Ty just angling to get the money from Sia again?
But really, do you think Sia is going to give money every season to people who save the animals?
She didn't last time.
So I think that maybe it's more of the awareness of, okay, people are really watching this and we're going to get crap more than, maybe I'll get some money off of this.
More on Sandra and the chickens coming up later.
You know that CBS definitely called Sia to give her a heads up. Like, listen, take some medicine, take
Jeff
something to calm
her,
down.
Like, Sia, okay, what we want you to do.
To take a Xanax.
All right, just be very careful tonight. It's going to be something. We're going to warn you.
Make sure you're sitting.
Just nothing happens. Nothing happens. No, but in all seriousness, though, everybody was, so concerned about Sandra and the goats. This was something else that I didn't see anybody even talking about with Sandra and the animals.
I was leading the sheep to slaughter.
Yeah. So not even just the goats.
Oh, that's Sandra.
Yeah. Tony even told everybody about it last week.
Mm-hmm.
Sheep being led to the slaughter. Good job, Sandra.
Yeah. Sandra is just leading all of these animals to slaughter.
See, Tony is always right.
She's so used to it.
Yes.
Taking all the animals, the sheep, the goats to slaughter.
The llamas.
The llamas. Yeah, forget about it. Okay, Nicole. This is another question for you. And this is another one that we got from a lot of people. Want to get your take on this. Let's go to Lawson, who is talking about the next great Survivor conspiracy.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Nicole. This is Lawson. And I have a conspiracy theory for you. So with the Millennials versus Gen X reunion show, they had brought out 7 different game changers that were going to be returning. And now, 3 of those have been the first 3 boots. Is this the new cursed photo?
Okay, Nicole, just to reset everything. So the cursed photo came up back in Survivor Second Chances. Madden?
Yeah, like the person on the cover of
Madden curse. Yeah. I didn't even know you knew about that, Nicole. You're holding out on me. And we could have been playing Madden all this time.
No, we couldn't have.
Yeah. And so back in the Survivor Second Chances, they took a photo at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. And Vetus was in the position that the person who gets voted out first at the reunion show would be sitting in.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lot of talk about the cursed photo. Was this a prediction of how the season was going to play? Now, again, ironically, Vetus wasn't even at the Survivor Second Chance finale.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sort of it's a little dodgy. Doesn't hold a lot of water. A little weak.
Yeah. Do you have the photo?
All right. But now here, Nicole, I want to present to you this iPad.
I can't read.
Here you go.
Okay.
Now, this is a picture from the Survivor Millennials versus Gen X finale. Can you read off to me the people that are at that they brought up on the stage? Hey, Survivor Game Changers, here's who's in the cast.
Let's see there. Do you want me to start in any particular?
Let's go left to right.
Back to front?
Sure.
I want to get it right.
Start from the left side of the picture and go to the right side of the picture.
Okay, but it looks like there are like 2 different rows. Whatever, fine. There's Sierra.
Yes.
There's Ozzy.
Okay.
There's Caleb.
Okay.
There's Sandra.
Yes.
There's Ty.
Yes.
There's Sari.
Yes.
And Tony.
Okay. So again, out of these people, the first 3 people from this season that are out are all in this photo. And a lot of Survivor fans are wondering today, is this the first 7 people out of this season? Is this the pre-jury group?
Was this taken before they played or after?
This was taken after the season was over.
Is CBS not
well,
with it?
That's a question that people are asking today.
That would be crazy.
That would be crazy.
That would be crazy.
Do you think there's any chance that's the case?
I could see it.
You could see it.
I could see it, this happening.
I mean, I don't know exactly why these 7 people are there. Certainly, there are some of the biggest names that
that cast. We had said when we saw it, we're like, well, why did they pick just these people?
I mean, they are some of the biggest names when you go there. Now, I don't know. Did they ask other people and they said no?
Please.
we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were going to have the biggest names, you would think that Malcolm would be there.
Right.
And you would think it would be easy to get Malcolm there because he lives in LA.
Right.
I'm trying to think of, who are some of the other people that you would say that Caleb and Ty played recently, but I wouldn't call them some of the bigger names on the season.
Right. Oh, definitely.
I mean, who else would you say are probably, I mean, JT is a winner. Mm-hmm. Andrea is a popular player.
Right.
I don't know.
And none of these people live in LA, so they had to fly out all these people.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that, Ozzy lives in LA.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I don't know. I don't know what the rhyme or reason is with this cursed photo, but it's a situation that bears watching.
Yes, this really does. This is crazy.
So, wow, I feel like that you're really buying into this.
I don't know. It makes sense. Like, I would vote all these people out.
Yes. Well, who do you think is next in the cursed photo?
I think Ceri is next.
I mean, that she certainly could be somebody who's in danger.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that when I first saw that new tribe she was in, I'm like, oh no, and now she's with Ozzy, but then her and Ozzy said they were going to work together.
Yeah, but you can never tell what they say, what they're going to do.
I guess you can never tell with any of that stuff. All right, so Nicole, anything else on the cursed photo? I mean, I feel like that Ozzy has got to be pretty safe. I mean, who would vote out Ozzy pre-merge? I mean, I did make him my winner pick, though.
Well, for that reason, I hope he does get voted out.
Yeah, but you feel like that he's probably going to be sticking around.
I don't know. They're voting out the threats. They're voting out Tony. They're voting out Caleb. Like, he's huge in the challenges. They're not caring about that stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we will keep an eye on the cursed photo. Potentially two people could be going home next week. They did say preview that the two teams that lose could go to tribal council. So, if we're looking at face value on that, we could have two people out next week.
Mm-hmm. You don't think CBS is really that not smart to do that?
I would think there's almost a 0% chance that that would be the case. But here we are 3 weeks in.
Yeah.
And cursed photo, cursed photo, cursed photo.
Yeah. Here you go. Here's your cursed photo back.
Thank you. I got the cursed photo from here. All right. So, Nicole, let's keep moving as we keep the cursed photo in the back of our mind. And why don't we take this question from, as we were talking about Ceri and Ozzy, here's a question from Tyler in L.A. who wants us to weigh in on that Ozzy and Ceri relationship.
Rob and Nicole, it's Tyler. Wondering if you can offer some couples counseling for Ceri and Ozzy. You know what I mean?
Nah. I don't know what you mean.
Okay, Ozzy and Ceri, they've been through some stuff, Ozzy and Ceri. Way back when, Survivor Micronesia, that Ceri was part of the group that masterminded the Ozzy blindside. That was some years ago and some seasons ago,
but
I believe.
Still has nightmares about it.
He still thinks about it. He still dreams about money disappearing from his hands. I believe that was 18 seasons ago of Survivor, believe it or not.
Would you admit that if that was the case?
Look, people are upset about, you know, stuff going back, 30 seasons of Survivor. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a thing. So it was all the way back in Survivor 16. Here we are in Survivor 34. We're still talking about this. Mm-hmm. But yet here we are with Ozzy and Ceri on the same tribe. And there's a conversation of, hey, we need each other.
Yeah.
So can you give any relationship advice to Ozzy and Ceri?
I don't know. You know, after there's like a cheater, can you ever forgive the cheater?
Well, then who's the cheater in this situation? Ceri?
Yes, Ceri had an affair.
Ceri, okay. So Ceri stepped outside mm-hmm. the bond of alliance.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Can that ever be forgiven? I don't know. I think that maybe you can kind of work it out, but you never forget.
Yeah, so you can forgive, you can never forget. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what is the practical advice for them?
What I think is that I don't think that Ozzy is going to forgive or forget.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's saying words.
Yes.
And he knows that he's got to play the game.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an interesting spot for them in this group where there's six people and just Troyzan is the only person who's not from the original Nuku tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would feel like they're all going to be on the same page. Like, where is either of them going? Is Ceri going to scoop up Troyzan? I don't think that seems like a natural fit.
Right.
And I feel like that for whatever reason, I feel like that Ozzy and Troyzan aren't bros. I feel like that they look at each other and feel like there's too much of like almost like a father and son relationship of what do you think, you're better than me?
Mm-hmm.
With the two of them,
right?
I just feel like that for whatever reason, like, hey, I'm the nature guy who's gonna climb trees with long hair, and I feel like that for whatever reason I feel like that they're not simpatico.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think that Ozzy and Ceri will work together because they know that they have to, but is there like a true alliance between them? No.
Mm-hmm. Could it work? I mean, could there be some sort of like trial by fire where they work together and they somehow get through Troyzan having an idol and they are able to survive this portion of the game? I mean, could that bond be rebuilt after? I'm trying to think of the survivors, if it's ever happened before, where survivors had a bad relationship from another season and then they got back together. You know, Colby and Jerry in Heroes versus Villains, but they were never quite on the same page.
They worked together because they had to, and I think that's like what's going to happen
here. But they
didn't
really ever work together. The only time that they were ever really together was that Jerry flipped when Russell voted with Rupert and Colby against Danielle DiLorenzo, and Jerry got on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was never a point where it was like, oh, Jerry and Colby are an alliance. Like,
right.
Jerry and Colby are a pair. I just don't know if there's that thing.
Yeah.
If that happens. Even like when you go to Survivor Second Chance, you know, people like, you know, Jeremy and Keith who were, and again, that they didn't have anything to do with either one getting, like, they were just sort of like, they had like a weird thing in San Juan del Sur, and it was still a weird thing in the next season.
Yeah, I think they need some serious couples counseling to actually come back together.
Probably the best example we can come up with is the person that was on the voicemail podcast last week, where Spencer and Cass ended up working together to vote out Wu back in Survivor Cambodia.
Yeah.
And even then, you know, Spencer like wasn't necessarily going to bat for Cass when she got voted out at the merge.
Yeah.
So these old wounds.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can sort of like look the other way for a bit, but it seems like that they always fester. It'll be really interesting because I'm rooting for, you know, the Aussies and Cerise of this game, the people that have this legacy to, you know, I want to see them build on it.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see both those players go far in this game, especially selfishly that Aussie was my winner pick.
Yeah, but you know the way that Cerise plays, that she doesn't really care. You know, she'll turn on him.
Oh, sure. She'll turn on
him. So they'll work together until they don't have to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get the first one that has an opportunity to get rid of the other. They're going to do it.
And while I feel like that, while many of the people look at Ozzy and say, he can't win, that was one of the reasons why I made him my winner pick. I feel like that Suri is not one of them. I think that Suri, in the back of her head, remembers that, no, this is a guy who we have been worried about could win in the past.
Yeah.
I think some of these new school players might just say, oh, Ozzy, forget him. He can't win.
You think so?
That's why I made him the winner pick.
Yeah. I think that people have him on the radar.
I mean, I think people have him on the radar of, okay, I'm excited. He's a nature guy, but I don't know if people are talking about him as a threat to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we'll see. Hasn't been, other than his storyline with Suri, we haven't seen a ton of Ozzy this season so far.
Yeah.
Okay. So we touched on my winner pick, but here's a question for you, Nicole, from Josh in Indiana, who is curious about your winner pick. Here is Josh.
Hi there. This is Josh calling in from Indiana. I have a question about Nicole's winner pick, Haley. I'm wondering if you're worried at all. She had a really good tribal council, but seemed like most of the credit for that vote went to Brad. So, Nicole, I'm wondering if you're worried about Haley's chances after seeing her edit there. Rob probably should be worried. Thanks. Bye.
What was the last part?
Rob probably should be worried.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Nicole, so were you sweating during the episode when you watched it, or had you already been spoiled by the time you watched?
Unfortunately, I was spoiled when I watched it.
All right. So you were not concerned about Haley going home with that tribal council?
I think I would have had I not accidentally have been spoiled. But I think that she did pretty well during
through three episodes. How do you feel about making Haley your winner pick this season?
Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of wish I picked Debbie again.
Yeah. Whoa. I said on the Know-It-Alls last night, I was actually pretty impressed with Haley. I know you probably have already listened to the Know-It-Alls
and
everything.
Yes, I know exactly what you said.
Yes, but I was impressed with her because I really did like the way that she sort of did this sort of jujitsu on what Caleb was saying about how, hey, like, do you want to keep a weak player in the game or do you want to keep somebody strong like me? And I just loved how she was like, yeah, he is strong. he is better than me. And he said, you know, I'm not somebody who's just going to be easily manipulated like Haley. And she's like, yeah, I guess that's that I am. You know, I love that.
That was really good.
I really did. You know, I always talk about with going back to Sierra Easton that when you're at the bottom, you need to curl up in a ball and play dead. Don't be dead. But just say, yeah, you know, why are you going to waste a vote on me? I suck.
Yeah, you
where Sierra is going to pound her fist. They're like, hey, like, I am a great player. Play the game. Come on, let's go.
But it wasn't aggressive.
She was so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I know it had already been decided, but just her whole attitude of being passive. Now, let's see if it's just an act or that's really who she is.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that she was so great in that tribal council. I've been so effusive in my praise of her.
Uh-huh.
And just to go, just to flip it back around to Survivor Worlds Apart, in that same situation where she was going to get voted out by the majority post-merge, she's like, hey, come on, let's go. America, America was the first flipper. They flipped on the British dynasty. Hey, come on, she was very much like Sierra in that moment.
Uh-huh.
But I loved how she was about, you know, just deflecting everything that Caleb was putting out there.
Yeah, she totally took the opportunity.
So I really thought that she was very good. Now, can she win the game? I'm not nearly willing to, you know, let's see if she can survive the next pre-merge.
Few weeks, yeah.
Right. Because if that tribe goes to tribal council, I think she's in a lot of hot water. But I really like the way that she defended herself against Caleb. And I think that she put on a clinic of what you should do when it's you against another person. I think that, you know, in true Big Brother fashion and for Caleb, who is a guy who went through Big Brother, I mean, it was a very Big Brother-like situation. You had the two nominees that were on the block,
yeah.
Caleb and Haley. And she was like, I'm going to make myself as not threatening as possible. And here was Caleb. It was Thursday night. And Julie says, hey, do you guys have any words that you want to say to the house guests? And Caleb was the one who was saying, like, hey, I'm the great player. You need me. You know, I'm going to, you know, and she was like, yeah, I'm just going to do nothing.
Yeah. Check your ego, Caleb.
Yeah, so I just think that it was a very Big Brother-like situation, and it's ironic that that's how Caleb ended up going out of the game.
The same way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly that. The way he went out of the game, I mean, he went 90 days into the game, and he was taken out at the end because he really...
Oh,
he could,
90?
90.
The nine?
Yes, that's the curse of the nines.
Yeah.
But no, he just really is somebody that the jury could have given the money to.
Right.
And so it's a different situation, but as somebody who's been through being on the block, he should know that the key to surviving the block is often to just sort of like act like, hey, I'm just like a, you know, a useless idiot. Like,
yeah.
You know, keep me around because I'm not doing anything. I'm not up to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Nicole, I think maybe I'm even higher on your winner picks performance this past week.
Good. Okay. Yeah, I think she performed well, but I just think she's in a bad spot.
She's not in a great spot. She does not seem to have many allies in the game. But, you know, continuing the conversation about Haley, why don't we talk about Haley and her buddy from Survivor Worlds Apart? Here's a question for you from Matt.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Nicole. It's Matt Price in D.C. I had a question about Sierra and Haley. Sierra, multiple times in the episode, said, I don't even know Haley. Who's this person? I've never heard of Haley in my life, or something to that effect. I was wondering, how strategic do you think that was? Is she just trying to distance herself from another Worlds Apart person and they're being very intentional about this? Or was she maybe throwing some world-class shade at Haley to someone that maybe from previous relationships she doesn't really like? How did you guys read that situation? Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Nicole, you are the master of reading the body language of the survivors. So I'd really like to get your opinion on this. In terms of the relationship between Haley and Sierra Dawn Thomas, did you feel like that Haley and Sierra mostly were, was this a real thing of like, is this some sort of like awkward woman thing where they've had like some sort of like a weird relationship? They're not really on the same page. Are they trying to play everybody? What do you think?
I mean, haven't we seen pictures of them together?
I don't know.
I feel like we have. And when I heard her say that, I was like, wait, what? I thought you guys were buddies.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that...
Again, at the time of Survivor Worlds Apart, I do think that all of the Dirty 30 were all hanging out together. I mean, I've always heard that Haley, then she doesn't hang out with them so much. And Sierra lives in Utah, I believe. And Haley isn't always hanging out with.
So she's not in with the Dirty 30?
I'm not the expert on this, so I don't want to speak out of school. But from what I understand, I don't think that Haley hangs out with survivors a ton.
Yeah. It seems like she was definitely trying to throw some shade.
Yeah. So you buy it. You think that Sierra Dawn Thomas and Haley are not that close. Now, Caleb, in his exit interview with me and with most of the Survivor press, he talked about how Haley and Sierra Dawn Thomas have matching tattoos. And
what?
He said he stood up at the tribal council and said, hey, you guys have matching tattoos, because that Ty had been to Caleb's wedding. That was what they said. Well, Ty went to your wedding, so obviously you're going to work with him. He says, well, you guys have matching tattoos. They said, but yeah, but that was 3 years ago.
Well, that kind of changes it. Now I'm calling BS on that.
You're calling BS on
it. I'm calling BS on that.
Now, the interesting thing to me is that Sierra Dawn Thomas is telling us, the audience, that her and Haley have no relationship. And she said that in her pregame interviews, and she said that in her confessional on the show. So the thing that I don't understand...
Why is she lying to us?
Why lie to us, the audience? So she's not saying to us, boy, nobody knows how close Haley and I are. Like, we are, you know, nobody knows this, but we're actually really good. And I'm just trying to think if maybe for some reason the show wouldn't give that to us if that was the case, because it's something. But I mean, we got, you know, Ty talking about Caleb, about how happy he is. So, I mean, it's not like that they're friends from something outside of Survivor. So if Sierra Dawn Thomas and Haley really were close, and closer than we think, I don't know why she couldn't tell the producer, or, you know, basically us at home, yeah, you know, people think that we're not that close, or I'm trying to dispel this idea, but actually from when we played together, you know, I know her, I'd love to keep her around.
Or if it was, you know, something different where they were best friends and they have matching tattoos and something happened.
Again, I don't know how many of them, like, this has definitely been a thing where a bunch of people from a season get tattoos together. Luckily, my season never said that.
Yeah.
Or if they did, they did it without me.
They just spread other things together.
relax. So I don't know exactly, you know, how many people were in on the, hey, let's get tattoos together.
I've done the matching tattoo thing.
Yes.
And you have to have...
With your mom.
And I had mine removed.
Yes.
And you have to have, like, a significant relationship with somebody to get a matching tattoo.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll get more on the tattoo controversy. But what I believe is that I think that they are not super close, but I think that they are not enemies by any stretch of the imagination. So when the alternative is like Sierra Dawn Thomas and Debbie, like I think she'd rather have the familiar person around rather than the person that she met 7 days ago, who, unless she like hit it off with them so great on the beach, mm-hmm. like having like at least some relationship, even if you're not BFF, is much better than somebody who you don't know from anybody.
And you know what? I don't like being lied to.
Oh.
So I feel like this is like major deception to the viewers.
But you're upset with Sierra Dawn Thomas.
Yeah, now this makes me mad. Like, why are you lying to us?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not cool.
Now, again, I don't know Sierra very well at all. Maybe that she's somebody who's like overthinks these things. It's like, well, you know, I played with Haley, but I don't, you know, everybody else from the Dirty 30, I text with them, you know, 9 times a day, and I haven't heard from Haley in 9 months. So obviously we're not that close friends, because I don't hear from her as often as all these other people.
Yeah.
Like, by comparison, all these other people who I see every weekend, this is a totally different story.
Okay. But Like, when she first said that, you know me, I forget who's in what season or whatever. Like, she said that, and I was like, oh, I thought they were on the same season. Maybe I was wrong.
Mm-hmm. You doubted yourself.
I did. So, and it kind of just, like, went over my head a little bit because I just thought I was, you know, I screwed up the seasons. But, I mean, she was on your season. The Dirty 30 is, they all hang out together. And I'm not buying this whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting. I feel like that we don't really ever get it from Haley's perspective. Maybe I missed it in the episode. Tell me if I'm wrong.
I don't think so.
But I feel like we never get Haley talking about, like, what her relationship is with Sierra Dawn Thomas.
Yeah. And you know how sometimes people, they lie so much that they actually, like, believe their lies?
Yes.
Like, is she, like, acting it so hard that she's actually believing it?
You think it's the George Costanza thing. It's not a lie if you believe it.
Yeah, like,
she's,
maybe.
Like, she's, like, really, like, incepted herself with, yes. I have no relationship with, like, she's, like, testifying in front of Congress.
Yes.
Like, no, I have no relationship. I have never seen Haley Ford before in my life.
Yes, and she's believing her lies.
I have no idea. I have no recollection. I do not recall ever meeting this woman.
Yep.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'd love to see it, you know, and see if I don't think that there were any secret scenes about it. So I think maybe it's worth a look back at the pregame press to see exactly what they were talking about. But I'm pretty sure I know Sierra was saying that she has no idea what it's like about Haley. She knows nothing about Haley Ford.
Yeah. And don't lie to the viewers.
Okay. Again, that I'm not even willing to say yet that I think she's lying.
I'm not buying it.
I'm saying that maybe that for whatever reason that it seemed like that there's no beef there. It's just that maybe she just doesn't feel like that there's a connection there between them. And maybe that she has like some sort of weird stipulations about that. Okay.
But do you think two dudes on the same season would say that to each other, even though they don't text?
Mm-hmm.
They don't really see each other too much, maybe, but they all hang out in the same circle. You think a dude is going to be like, hey, you know, I don't know anything
they
about
wouldn't
her.
Wouldn't overthink their relationship status with another person from their season.
Sounds like hashtag jealousy.
Jealousy? Why? What would you think that she's jealous
girls
over?
Girls have insecurities with other girls.
All right. Well, that I don't know anything about that, Nicole. Okay. So let's give you one more question on this subject of Haley and where she's at right now. And this is a question for you, Felipe.
Hey, Rob and Nicole, the flop. This is Felipe, and I just saw the episode. I'm living for the outcome. Goodbye, Beast Mode Cowboy. See you never. But anyways, I just wanted to know, are Haley and Brad going to form Attorneys R Us or Lawyers R Us? We've seen Cops R Us. We've seen Stealth R Us. Is that the next incarnation? Okay, thanks and have a nice day. Bye.
So Haley and Brad Culpepper, both attorneys, do you think we could have Lawyers R Us this season?
Wait. He's a lawyer?
You didn't know this?
I may have at like some point, may have forgotten this.
Yes.
But wouldn't have guessed it.
Yes. Brad Culpepper, he is a attorney.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that he, after his playing career, I'm not sure if he went to law school after the NFL or if he studied law in college and just didn't practice until he got done with NFL.
Well, I'm continuing to doubt myself here. I'm like, I thought he was a football player.
Right. He was a football player, but now that his trade is law.
Uh-huh.
And Haley, she is a young lawyer.
Okay.
Do you think that we could see Lawyers R Us in the mix?
I feel like with Brad, I'm very kind of shocked over
yes.
him. So I don't know anything is possible.
Yeah.
I like the new Culpepper.
Okay. So, all right. We'll talk more about Brad in a minute. Uh-huh. So do you think that there is something between Brad and Haley that there was like two little things about that in the tribal council last night where that Jeff asked Brad what he thought about Haley's tactics at tribal council. And he's like, well, you know, she's a good lawyer or I forget what exactly how he put it.
Right. Yeah.
And then she also said, and my closing argument is, and that's what I felt like. I thought that was a little bit too much.
I don't think she should
have said my closing argument is actually like, I think don't remind people you're a lawyer.
Yeah.
Remind people you're a no-collar idiot. That's what you need to
living in a trailer.
And I'm not saying that she's an idiot.
Yeah.
I need that she needs to give
the
that
perception
of, oh, I'm just, you know, what? Where am I? What is this? Am I on TV? Is this a game? You know, that's what she needs to be doing, at least for a bit. And then again, the jury's not going to vote for her unless she sort of like at the end sort of like, you know, puts it into another gear. But to survive this point in the game, she needs to, you know, it's okay to sort of like, you know, connect with Brad over being a lawyer, but you don't have to like rub it in everybody's face.
Yeah, I think that that might happen because I feel like he's probably impressed over how she handled the situation.
Yeah. All right. Let's touch on Brad Culpepper here because this is something that people wanted to get your take on, Nicole. Here is a question for you from John in Tucson.
Hey, Robin, Nicole. This is John in Tucson. On Survivor Worlds Apart, Haley Ford famously said that surfing was her number three passion in life. Where do you think that antiquing and interior decorating rank on Brad Culpepper's list? Rooting hard for your budding attorney winner pick, Nicole Stradamus. Love to hear your thoughts. Bye.
Okay, Nicole. So we found out last night about Brad Culpepper that he has an interesting hobby.
I love antiquing and I like to decorate.
Who could have guessed, Nicole?
I really like the new Brad Culpepper. I feel like this is a, like, this really isn't him. This is a whole new person, but I like him.
So he's not just a game changer. He's got a whole makeover, Brad Culpepper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Nicole, so talk to me about this this new hobby that you learned of from Brad Culpepper.
What do you want me to talk about?
What's your feelings on antiquing?
That seems like the least interesting thing that I could possibly do.
Yeah, well, I have to feel like that you are going to be a fan of Brad Culpepper's interior design because he seems to have one motif that he keeps going with.
And you know I love that.
Yeah, here is Jeff and Malcolm commenting on Brad's decorating.
The balls. The trees have balls.
Nicole, is that how you would like to see us decorate around here?
I wish my trees had balls.
The balls. The trees have balls.
Where did all these balls come from?
I say the same thing every day.
Oh, that is Brad Culpepper, that's his design. Just balls on everything.
Are you surprised?
Yeah. He loves it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's out looking for, antique balls.
I'm making this home a home.
Yeah, to hang up.
I love antiquing and I like to decorate.
Yeah, WWMD.
I feel like maybe when he was playing with Monica, like maybe was he showing off for Monica?
So you're talking about back? Okay, that I want to make sure I know what you're talking about. You're talking about in Blood versus Water.
Yes.
The first time he played.
Yes.
You feel like was he hyper aggressive because Monica was there?
Yes.
I mean, I think he said in the pregame that he didn't get to play his game, that he was just out there trying to protect Monica, and that he felt like that she was in danger, I guess. And that's why he was so nuts.
He was acting crazy at his own camp. Like, she wasn't even there.
Yes, but that there were all of the loved ones there. And, you know, it's a complicated game. Blood, and there was Redemption Island.
He does seem like he loves her very much.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it is romantic.
Yes, that's very romantic.
Mm-hmm.
And what would Monica do? What a good husband.
Now, if you were on Survivor without me, would you be asking yourself all the time, what would Rob do?
Yes, because it would usually be the opposite of what I would want to do.
Yes. I feel like that you go through life and you say, what would Rob do? And then you do the opposite.
On most cases.
On most cases. Right. Right. Which is frustrating. So Brad Culpepper, interior designer, who knew? Nicole, also, this is a question for you about everything going on with JT in this episode. Here is a question for you from the tandem of Diego and Sophia.
Hi, this is Diego.
And this is Sophia.
And we thought the ocean abandonment scene looked a lot cooler in the previews and ended up being kind of lame in the episode.
Kind of? It was ridiculous. I was expecting him to, like, take them out and, like, tie them to a rock and throw them in the ocean. And all he did was, like, lead them there and then leave. It was really upsetting.
Do you think that there's any other ways to abandon your tribe to look for an idol? Thanks.
Okay.
I think leaving them in the middle of the ocean is a pretty good way to abandon them.
Yes. Well, Diego and Sophia were disappointed. They thought it looked a lot cooler in the trailers.
They wanted more violence.
They thought it was like the Suicide Squad of Survivor scenes.
Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't even that cool.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool.
I thought it was really fun. I mean, the whole first like 15 minutes, it was a long time before they went to a commercial break on the episode. They started with a swap. We went to that new Nuku tribe and we went right into everybody who was out on the water and JT just scrambling to find the idol. Now, you can quibble whether or not it was the right strategic move to make. But in terms of a Survivor caper, I mean, I thought that was very fun. The only thing that I can think of that was anything like that, and if you want a better situation, back in Survivor Redemption Island, I think it's like the fourth or fifth episode, Boston Rob ends up getting the clue he finds in one of the chairs that they get, like a note of here's the clue to the hidden immunity idol, and he takes everybody out to go to the beach. And he's like, hey, we're going to play a game and we're going to get the royal treatment. And then whoever wins the game, you get to have your rice served to you. And so he made up this whole game. And then he told everybody, I needed to go to the bathroom. And then he went and said he had like some intestinal issue and then went and found the idol. But at least he knew where it was.
Yeah.
He got everybody away to go do that. So it's hard to get everybody away and then just go on like a mad dash and you don't know anything.
Yeah. And then he could just leave him a note that's, you know, BFF XOXO.
Who, JT?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, yeah, for the people on the boat, he would leave them to know. All right. So for JT, I did enjoy that scene, although he did come up short.
I thought it was great. And they even were like, he just left us.
Yeah. You know, not the craziest plan JT's ever had on Survivor.
No,
either.
He wrote a note giving away the idol.
To Russell.
Yes.
So for JT, this is like nothing.
It's actually smart for him.
Yeah. Nicole, that I was having a hard time, though, figuring out what JT was talking about. That I want to play a new game on the podcast. We actually started this during the Celebrity Apprentice, when there were a couple times when I didn't know what Arnold Schwarzenegger was saying. Luckily, we had a Schwarzenegger whisperer in our audience. Ali Giancola was able to often tell us what Arnold Schwarzenegger is saying. Hopefully, Nicole, you might be able to help me. Tell me, what is JT talking about here at the tribe swap?
Historically in Survivor, that would put you in the wrong side of the numbers.
Always has the bad side of things, but always ends up good. We'll be all right.
Did you get that, Nicole?
Yes. Always on the bad side of things, but it always ends up good.
Always has the bad side of things, but always ends up good. We'll be all right.
We'll be all right.
Okay. That's good. I don't know how Steven did it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. JT, what did you say?
I'm sure Steven probably was just like, uh-huh, okay.
Yeah. No, there's...
You're right, yeah, uh-huh.
There's simpatico.
Yeah.
That Steven is fluent in JT.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
He probably speaks more languages.
He's bilingual.
Yeah.
He speaks English and JT, which is pretty amazing. Okay. Here's a question for you from Andrew Kirk about what should Troyzan do? WWTD.
Hey, Robin, Nicole. This is Andrew Kirk calling from California. Got a question about Troyzan real quick. Now that he has an idol, who on the Green Tribe do you think he can persuade, one? And two, if they lose, who do you think out of the five on the Green Tribe that were Nuku tribe members that would be in the most danger? I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on that. Thanks.
Nicole, so here's Troyzan. Mm-hmm. He has the idol.
Right.
There are five other people in that camp.
Please refresh my memory on who's on the Green Tribe.
Okay. So it's all the people from Nuku. So okay. Ozzy and Suri that we mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Sarah Lucina is there. Also, Zeke is there and Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So you have those five, all people from that original starting tribe. And then Troyzan is the one person who was on the tribe with Sandra and Tony and Caleb. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now he's out there. He has an idol.
Mm-hmm.
There's five other people. So when they go to tribal council, he has a couple of options that he could, if they're all going to vote for him, he can just play the idol and idol somebody out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He could tell them about the idol beforehand, before the tribal council. What do you think is the right move for your boy Troyzan?
I don't know, because I was very disappointed that he got the idol.
Why? Why are you anti Troyzan?
I'm not. Well,
you were very hard on him in the cast preview.
Because I feel like I am not a fan.
Why?
I don't know. He just kind of irks me.
Yes. Okay. Well, give us some of your opinions.
I think it's just the attitude towards the women on
Survivor One World.
Survivor One World.
Well, Nicole, in fairness, that I wonder if that, you know, there's a bit of a Mandela effect for you. Now, full disclosure, you have never rewatched a season of Survivor. You have not watched 1 second of footage from Survivor One World from 2012. So is it possible that you are maybe not remembering everything accurately?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. So you're not willing, you're willing to change your opinion on Brad Culpepper, but you're not willing to change your opinion on Troy Zane.
I'm willing to change my opinion on anybody.
Yes.
If they give me something to change it on.
Okay. So he has not done anything yet.
He hasn't done anything yet. Hopefully he will, but he hasn't yet. I think that maybe, I don't know. I feel like he kind of has a big head that he's got. I feel like he's going to blow it.
How could he blow it? Not play it?
I don't know. I think that maybe he's going to do something. Didn't he do something to get himself like voted out?
What happened ultimately, which was his downfall, was he also had an idol in Survivor Worlds Apart,
right.
Or One World.
Uh-huh.
And what he did was that there was somebody else who was a real idiot that he was with. And I'm not going to name names, but really considered to be, by many people, one of the dumbest and most worthless Survivor players there is. And that Troy Zane was working with this person. And Troy Zane had a plan of, hey, let's use the I Have an Idol. Let's use it on Kim tonight.
Uh-huh.
And then this like total... dumb player.
But good looking.
I don't even remember that he went and told Kim, hey, just so you know, Troy has the idol. Just so you know, Troy has the idol. And he's going to use it. I don't know what's going to happen.
That sounds so sexy.
And then Kim was like, oh, okay, well. And I think maybe was Troy Zane immune at that vote also? I think that might have been the possibility of why they didn't just vote him out.
Uh-huh.
And so that they said, okay, well, let's change up the plans tonight. And they voted out Jay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy. Okay?
That was my least favorite episode.
Right. And then Troy Zane was, you know, pretty agitated after that. Okay?
Yeah. And then that's what set off... Right. So that's what set him off.
Yeah. And then within, I think, two episodes, then he's out.
Yeah.
So he was, very, very upset about the whole
thing. He's a loose cannon.
He had a good plan. He had a good plan to take out Kim. It almost worked if some idiot didn't go and tell Kim the plan that it was going to be used to vote him out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And kudos to Kim for having, thinking so highly of her that they come and tell her the plan when somebody wants to vote them out.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that's what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you were Troy Zane, then just okay, like let's say hypothetically he doesn't blow it as you think, which again, I don't even know how you blow it in this situation.
Uh-huh.
Which of these five people should he target? Ozzy, Suri, Andrea, Zeke, or Sarah Lucina?
I feel like he's going to target.
Do you go big game hunting? Do you go and you go and say, like, hey, let's keep the tribe strong. Let me take out the person who I think is the weakest.
I feel like he'll. I don't know. Want to vote out his son?
Yeah, Ozzy. Yeah. Ozzy. He is in the cursed photo.
Yeah.
Like, if you were going to come up with the scenario where Ozzy goes out of the game, I think this might be it.
Yeah.
Where he says,
right, this will get him out.
Yeah. Where then put the idol on Ozzy and say, hey, you guys like that? How do you like that? Yeah.
So at first I was going to say that I feel like he's going to target Andrea, but then I feel like he would... She's probably like somewhat on his level almost, but he can like take her in and get her to like
somewhat on her level.
Yeah. Like he's not like Ozzy. He's not legendary like Suri. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting scenario with both those tribes. Both those five versus one scenarios are both really going to be fun to watch.
Oh, I do hope it's a father-son duel.
A father-son duel. Yeah. Like, you were never there for me, Troy Zane. What are you talking about? Like, I took you to those soccer games. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. All right, Nicole, let me ask you a question about Suri, sticking with that green tribe. This is from Kentucky Jill has a question for you. Here is Kentucky Jill.
Hey, Rob. This is Kentucky Jill, first-time caller. Been listening since Co-Wrong. Love the podcast. I found it hilarious that when Jeff announced the tribe swap, Suri asked, does anyone know CPR? Isn't Suri a nurse? Love to hear your thoughts and Nicole's. Thanks. Love you, bae.
Love you, Kentucky Jill. All right. So, Nicole, so Suri has the same profession as you. She's a professional nurse,
yes,
like yourself.
Yes.
Let me play this clip just so that we have this accurate. Here is from the tribe swap. First, this is the first thing that Suri says about a medical issue. Here's Suri.
Here we go.
Oh my gosh, my heart's pounding.
Mine is too. I'm gonna have a heart attack.
Okay. So she's gonna have a heart attack. Hopefully, just a figure of speech there for Suri. But then here is the comment about CPR.
Haley,
okay. I know CPR.
Okay, so she hopes somebody knows CPR.
Yeah, I just took it as she was like gonna pass out. She needs someone to do CPR on her.
Okay, yes, that's right. So that she's the one that's going to pass out.
Yes.
So yes, those she knows CPR, but
she can't do it on herself.
Right, it's not gonna do any good.
Right.
When she's the person who has a heart attack or passes out,
or else you're a really good nurse.
She needs somebody else to know CPR.
Yes.
Because she's gonna just after this that she's just gonna be lights out, like
right.
Beast Mode Cowboy.
Yes.
So it's fine if anybody else was to go down, but we need a backup Suri.
Yeah, exactly.
We need the backup Suri. That's right. So does somebody else around here need to know CPR if you're not around?
I would hope so.
Does the middle P stand for podcast?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Then I can do it.
Idiot.
Does the R stand for Rob?
Yes, it
yes.
does.
Okay. What does the C stand for?
I can't say it.
Okay. All right. So not the C word, right?
Maybe
okay.
it is.
All right. Well, then that changes everything. Could be a good nickname for me on some of these message boards, but let's why don't we keep going, Nicole? So, all right.
That's what I'm going to call you from now on.
All right. Take it easy. All right, Nicole. And then people want to make sure I got this at the last minute. This was a message for you. This is from one of our listeners, Zach.
I hope this isn't too late. Hi, Nicole.
Okay.
Hi. That's it?
Yep, that was it. That was a message for you from Zach. Nicole, this is another question that we got at the end of the day. This is a question for you. This is something that I heard you talking about a little bit. This is from Karen.
Hi, this is Karen from the San Francisco Love You Bay Area. and I turned 50 this week, and I learned the interesting fact on your show that I'm one day younger than Mrs. Cass. Anyway, my question is, could you discuss the fashion and what it means? I noticed that a lot of the players are dressed similarly to how they were in previous seasons. Like Aubrey has the blue sleeveless shirt and Sandra has a red shirt like she did in Heroes versus Villains. Malcolm's wearing plaid and Jeff's shirt, just take those sleeves off and he's the purple Barney Rubble. I love it when you guys discuss fashion, so please discuss. Thanks.
So, Nicole, what do you think about some of these wardrobe choices this season? Is it too much of going back to the well with everybody? Should people have come back with a new look?
I don't think a lot of it is flattering at all.
Yes.
Well, I do agree with Jeff Varner. I think that his outfits are very flattering
you
for
like
him.
You like that?
I think he's the best dressed survivor on the island.
Okay. How about this? Who is most in need of a survivor makeover?
Oh.
I know you're always talking about my look, how I need a makeover.
I've met Sandra in person, and I feel like her outfits aren't doing her justice.
Yeah, what should Sandra's look be? Karen's voicemail was that Sandra had to wear red because she was going to like the villain's throwback. I mean, she just happened to be on the red tribe again.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if it was necessarily that we're trying to recapture her look from Heroes versus Villains.
Maybe they were.
I mean, who knows? Maybe that's why they put her on a red tribe
yeah.
again. But I don't know. I don't know if she has like some sort of like article of clothing that is like, you know, you think of Sandra and she always has this.
I've seen Sandra in person and she's hot to trot.
Okay, so what should Sandra be wearing?
I don't know. I feel like something feistier or something.
Feistier, okay. Should she wear the tiara? Should she actually come into the game with a...
She totally should have.
And the queen stays queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no better way to remind people of that.
Mm-hmm. She's not going to let them forget.
What about the guys, Nicole? Any of the Survivor men need a makeover?
They're never really wearing clothes. The only one that's really wearing clothes is Jeff Varner.
Okay.
The rest of them are shirtless. The
rest of them are shirtless. All right. So, Nicole, I have one more wardrobe-related question for you. This is from Adrian, and she might be onto something. Here is her very interesting question.
Hi, Rob. I call shenanigans. Did you notice that after they split into three tribes, Troyzan just coincidentally had green underwear and Brad and Ty both had red underwear, which matched their tribe colors. I don't know. I didn't catch any of the other guys after I started noticing that, but I don't know if you want to talk about how they're given clothes or told what colors to wear, because it seems to be something in previous seasons where they're specifically told colors to wear before they go out there. Thanks.
So we just touched on Sandra has a red shirt, but she's also in the red tribe. But Nicole, what about this new development of we have a tribe swap and we have survivors with matching underwear to
Adrian.
The new tribe swap? How did Troyzan get green underwear for his new green tribe, Nicole?
Adrian, you little pervy perv for noticing. I'm usually the pervy perv that figures this stuff out.
Yes, Nicole, are you buying into this?
You know,
Troyzan puts the idol in his new green underwear. Did he have green underwear the whole time? I mean, it should be easy to go back and look, right?
It should be. Were they told like which colors to like? Was this tribe breakdown done in casting before and told? They told them to go. This is how you have to
bring
shop?
Three colors of underwear, and then you. It's like, here's your new buff, and also here's your new underwear.
You get a buff. You get underwear. You get a buff.
Yeah. Why don't we just instead of draw a new buff? Why don't we have a bag with everybody's underwear and draw a new underwear color?
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
That Survivor. First off, why would they care if you have underwear that's the same color as your tribe?
So they could show it on TV for the pervy pervs.
Who cares if Troyzan what color his underwear is when he's on the green team?
What happens he was wearing after underwear.
The merge? Yeah. Yeah. Because that's no guarantee.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Was it boxers or briefs? Like a
Well, you have to go back and take a look.
Yeah.
But no, this cannot be a thing.
I don't know. I felt like when I was watching, I feel like I did notice that the blue tribe, what was the name? What's the name?
Nuku.
They were all wearing blue.
But blue underwear?
No, not underwear. Well, I didn't look. Adrian, maybe you can tell us.
Look, this is something that our listeners can, I'm sure we will start getting the screen caps on this. Is this a thing? This should be very easy to prove Adrian's thesis.
How many pairs of underwear are you allowed to bring on Survivor?
I don't think really any. I think what you're wearing.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
In Survivor of the Amazon, and this is something I will often point to when people say, oh, it's so easy now. I mean, we, in the first few seasons, had a lot of clothes.
Yeah.
I believe I might have even had two pairs of underwear in Survivor.
Even so, that's disgusting.
Yeah. Well, and then there was a fire, and then I had no pairs of
you
underwear.
You went commando?
I was commando the day that the camp burned
the
down.
The day that you decide to go commando.
Again, Nicole, it gets very hot on Survivor, and, you know, and I was just
sweaty
had,
balls.
I was just had my shorts, and then there was a fire, and then all of my clothes got burnt, and yeah, and this was, it was, there was an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of all the days.
Of all the days. Right. Right. And I was very concerned of like then, and then I didn't want to like be sleeping and have any sort of like
wardrobe malfunction.
Right. And then I wake up and there's a camera guy standing over me. This is like it was very very concerning. This whole thing.
Yes, it wouldn't be interior
not good.
Decorating.
Not good. Right? Yeah. The tribe might have looked like Brad Culpepper had decorated it.
Balls. The trees have balls.
Okay. So and believe me, nobody was like, okay, you're going to the yellow tribe. Put on your yellow underwear today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was the thing. All right, Nicole. Are you ready to, we talked so many voicemails, are you ready to talk about the survivors on social media?
Of course.
All right, and for the first time this season, I'm very happy to bring back the musical stylings of the great Ryan Elder.
Tweets, baby, tweets, Survivor tweets. They're better than being stranded and abandoned by JT. Tweets.
Yes, better than being abandoned by JT. Thank you so much, Ryan Elder. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ryan Elder Music. Okay, let's start off with Andrea Belke. At Andrea Belke, the great Andrea, that mm-hmm. I'm sure a longtime friend of the podcast.
Yes, we love Andrea.
Love Andrea. She said, the only good thing to come out of that painfully awkward attempt to lie to Troy Zan was him calling me a little devil. Nicole, did you like that scene between Andrea and Troy Zan?
Yeah, it was okay.
Well, I mean, I don't really know all the relationships. Right. So someone might have other ideas.
Just wanted to at least say hello.
I just want to say hello. Yeah, so Troy Zan just wants to say hello to Andrea. And then this is what Troy said about Andrea after the fact.
She's a little devil, that one.
That sounded kind of pervy.
Yeah, I thought it was weird the way he said that.
She's a little devil, that one.
Yeah, she's a little devil, that one. So there's Troy Zan on Andrea. That little devil, Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little devil, that one.
That's creeping me out. Stop.
All right. Speaking of things that creep you out, Penner was back live tweeting the episode. I don't think he talked about the premiere. But here he is. And Penner was also very interested to know about Brad's decorating. He said, Brad says he and Monica decorated their own house. Who the hell else would have decorated it?
An interior decorator?
I guess so. Yeah. Well, yeah, it was an interior decorator. His name was Brad Culpepper.
I love antiquing and I like to decorate.
Penner also said, nice moment with Troy Zan, though referring to himself in the third person is more than a little weird, no?
I feel like he's referred to himself in the third person.
No, he doesn't.
I feel like he would.
He doesn't. The only time I can remember him referring to himself in the third person, he referred to himself as Johnny one time when he was getting medevaced in Survivor Micronesia. Bad luck, Johnny. But I don't really remember him referring to himself as Penner's getting frustrated. Penner doesn't like this.
It is a sign of a crazy person when they refer to themselves in the third person.
Yeah. Well, last week, Michaela not only referred to herself in the third person, but she went full first name, last name.
Yeah, I think it needs to change to someone else in the course of the afternoon. That would be ideal for Michaela Bradshaw.
Yeah, she's like Ricky Henderson. She's very worked up. She was hardly in the episode this week.
Yeah.
All right, Penner also said, maybe eventually they'll have chickens, eggs, fish, etc., but I love goat, though I am not the G-O-A-T. Penner loves goat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can buy goat at like the store?
Yeah, sure. People could eat goat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, they said, Debbie said about the dictatorship majority rules. Did you catch that?
There are so many things that Debbie... What is her profession?
Yeah, a million things. I mean... we have to go over this again.
Oh my goodness! Like
this
every
is a hot take. Debbie has a lot of jobs.
Like every situation that occurs, like yeah, well, that was my profession. I don't get paid in money though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Penner said about Debbie, a dictatorship majority rules. An unintelligible verbal genius. And then also Penner added one more big move by Brad. Was he threatened? did Caleb snore?
I saw that.
That's where his head went. Courtney Yates, she said on Twitter, they might need to subtitle JT.
Always has the bad side of things, but always ends up good. We'll be all right.
And she knows JT.
Yes, yes. So that was a good line by Courtney. Dina Bennett, my old friend from Survivor of the Amazon, at TrialDog67, she says, there's nothing sweeter than the feel and smell of a new buff. I remember her saying that even during Survivor of the Amazon after the swap.
Yeah.
She loved that.
Do you get a lot of flashbacks like watching the show?
I mean, do I get flashbacks to watching a new season?
Yeah.
No, not really at all.
No.
Yeah.
Because I feel like other people do.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, I've watched so much that if I was having flashbacks or some sort of like post-traumatic stress disorder about Survivor, like I wouldn't like it's not possible.
Yeah. Like the time I made rice.
what do you mean?
Where I accidentally made the whole bag of rice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you shouldn't do that. I mean, that was...
No, but you got really mad and I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. Like you cooked a whole box of rice.
It was the first time I ever made it.
Like, this is Nicole. Why'd you use all of the rice?
No, you got like... It was like PTSD.
Right. Right. Well, you know, that's like Boston Rob said, we weren't allowed to have that much. So... It's very, very stressful.
Yeah.
You're going to get us all in trouble. We'll all be voted out of here.
I thought I was getting voted out.
Yeah. Your friend Nick Majorano said, glad my beauty Caleb got a fair shake this time. Super bummed to see him leave the game.
Oh, how nice.
Yes. The beauty tribe was very sad. Jervis is tweeting about this season. He said, Troyzan, what's that bulge in your shorts? Oh, it's just my idol. Ha, 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 ha. Jerv.
That was weak.
You can do better than that.
That was weak.
Jervis also said, here goes Ty effing up the plan and letting people know that you got something else going on. Damn, son, work on that poker face. We didn't really talk about this, but did you feel like the Ty really screwed Caleb?
They weren't truly in an alliance, were they?
I mean, that they weren't in an alliance in that Ty voted him out, but... I mean, they were in like a friendship.
Yeah. But yeah. I think that he had to do what he had to do.
You want one that's really cutting? Anna Kate says, oh, man, I hoped at Ty Trang SF can see the value of at Caleb Reynolds loyalty and not vote out a close alliance again. Yeah. I mean, that Ty was the person that did flip against Anna Kate when she went home. And I remember back from being in Reno last May, where Anna Kate was there at the Jason Somerville event.
Yeah.
And she was very much like, like texting and FaceTiming like with Ty, I think, and with Caleb. And I think that she was probably very much saying like, OK, you guys make sure work together in this new season.
Yeah.
I'm sure she was not thrilled to see how that played out.
Okay, but she wasn't the one playing.
No, she wasn't the one playing. But yeah. I think that she was like, and again, it was also Ty who votes against somebody from that original beauty tribe.
Yeah.
I'm sure she was not loving any of that. Eric Reichenbach said, this season should really be rebranded Survivor Goat Chasers. Okay.
No.
No, you don't like that one?
No.
It's like Game Changers?
No.
Okay. Missy, mother of Baylor.
What does Muffin think, though?
Like, who's Muffin? She tweeted out...
That still makes me laugh.
Being belted together was a bad day for me on Survivor Day 30 in Season 29. This was the challenge that we saw where she broke her ankle, Nicole.
That would be an awful challenge for me.
Yeah.
I would not want to be with two other people.
Okay. Nicole, also then, this is a little bit of a predicament. Now, I know that you listen to every podcast that we do, and you know that we usually talk about what's going on with the T-Bird bot or the Rupert bot.
Yes.
But we, in terms of playing a game, that the real T-Bird was on a flight on Wednesday night, and the real Rupert, I don't even think, has tweeted in 2017.
Uh-huh.
So I could tell you some of the tweets from the Rupert bot, but I don't really have anything to compare them to. Some interesting tweets from the Rupert bot.
Okay, let's hear it.
He said, Sandra used to think it was cool when she came on family visits, and then she got to play.
What?
Like, what? I responded to that. I didn't even know that. She was on the family visits before that. He also said, I thought you might like this. If you want to have your child at home, you should be able to. Like, okay.
Okay, yes.
Although, that's not, you say Everett should go to the hospital.
Yes, well, that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other thing. Yeah. He also said, I was the fifth one to do back-to-back, and I was even better.
Well, fair enough, Rupert.
That's not true. That's not true, by the way. That's fake news from Rupert. And also, the Rupert bot, at Rupert Botham, he says, I think it's actually at Rupert, he says, I was going through it with not just one giant bone in 8 toe, but one comforting feelings in 6 toe, and the toe they were going it off to.
What?
I don't know. That's a Rupert bot is, you know, he's like, he's talking about Rupert things, but it's
is he like on drugs?
Not making any sense. Well, if you want to do drugs, you should be able to. That's Rupert's libertarian.
Yep.
Okay. So Nicole, but so instead of the Rupert tweets game, I have a different game for you to play.
I love games.
Tweets, baby, tweets, Rupert. Tweets
something else.
Better than something that happened on Survivor.
I only have one jingle Rupert for a game.
Tweets. Okay.
Okay. Nicole, so we talked about at the top of the show, everybody was pretty up in arms about Sandra and the goat.
Right.
I was leading the sheep to slaughter.
And the goat.
And the goat.
Okay. So Sandra was certainly talking about that in the episode, and people were upset. And whenever people are upset, I said, well, let me go check out what's going on the CBS Survivor Facebook page. And I found out that people were upset about Sandra talking about eating the goat.
Of course.
But also, people were upset about Caleb getting slaughtered at the tribal council.
Really?
Yes. So, Caleb, very popular on the CBS Survivor Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
So, what I'm going to give you are two angry comments, okay? One is going to be an angry comment about the goat. And one is going to be an angry comment about Caleb going home.
Okay.
And your job here today is to tell me which got more likes. Killing the goat or killing off Caleb?
Okay.
Okay?
This is a good game.
All right. Round one. I'll hide the last names for the sake of privacy, but you can read them all. These are all real comments from real casual viewers of Survivor.
They're not casual viewers.
Yes. Yeah, they are. Okay. Melinda says about Caleb's vote being voted out. Big mistake to vote Caleb out. They have weakened their team. And no, I hope they lose every challenge from now on. And are voted out immediately at the merge. I hope Ty is the first one gone.
Oh,
okay? That was a comment about Caleb. And then here's a angry comment about the goat. This is from a woman named Ellen who says, this show is scripted most likely. That's why Sandra is running things. I didn't like her the first time she played, the second time she played, or now. If they had killed those goats with all the resources Survivor has, they would have been committing the show's downfall. Sandra is evil and always has been. If she wanted to kill a mama and her baby, what kind of person is she? And if they scripted it that way, what kind of show have they turned into? Okay, Nicole, which...
What a crazy person.
All right, one of these comments got 240 likes. The other one got 6. Which one was the more popular comment?
I'm going to say Crazy Ellen got the popular.
Sorry, Nicole. The Caleb comment was the one that was like 240 yeah. times. Only 6 likes for that. If Survivor is scripted and this is what they're scripting, then what kind of show has this turned into?
Usually crazy people stick together.
Okay. Round two, Nicole. All right. Here's a comment from a woman named Dorothy who says, who in the hell was the idiot who brought in the goats for the losers to decide if they would kill them and eat them? Bloody disgusting. Watching the people kill the chickens is horrible to see that happen in front of you. Give them some more rice until they learn how to fish. that was horrible and don't do it again, 9 exclamation points. Okay? So that was an angry comment about the goats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here is your angry comment about Caleb. This is from a man named Wayne who says, I think it was a mistake to vote out Caleb. That leaves the tribe with one guy, a weak gay guy, an old woman, and 2 women. They'll get slaughtered in the next immunity challenge. Okay? One of these was liked 5 times. The other one was liked 75 times.
Oh, I feel like the meat-eating haters are more verbal than the misogynists on Facebook pages. So I'm going to go with the goat.
Sorry, 75 people liked Wayne's comment about the new tribe breakdown. Is this math right? Is this Culpepper math? Hold on. So if they vote out Caleb, that leaves them with, there's no commas. That's where it's tricky. With one guy that's,
you know, that really bothers me on like Facebook when people like write stuff with no periods or commas. Like, I'm like, where, I can't follow this.
There's one guy, a weak gay guy, an old woman, and 2 women. Mm-hmm. I feel like that really, it should be 3 women and one of them who happens to be old.
Yeah.
So, but that, look, 75 people say Wayne can't be wrong. So what do I know? I'm just a lowly Survivor podcaster. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Round 3.
How many rounds are there?
5 rounds.
Oh, my goodness.
So far, you're 0 for 2. You're terrible at this.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here's round 3, Nicole. This is first an angry comment about Caleb from a woman named Joanna, who says, done watching this show. I hope Ty goes next. Let's just give it all to Sandra again. Lame. Nobody even truly knows how Caleb plays. Gone on day 9 both times? Bitter. Yes, I am.
At least she admits it.
Yes. She also adds, and the whole goat thing? Just wrong to even consider, let alone vote on. Disgusting. Sandra is despicable and will run her mouth till she gets another million. So this was actually both. They were angry about Sandra and Caleb.
Okay. So we're using both of her comments?
Yes. Yes. Okay. And then here's the one. This is only mad about Sandra. Quit killing the animal or I will quit watching the show. They have lots of food where they don't need to kill. Get rid of baby killer Sandra. Again.
That's a bit extreme.
No animal was killed. Well, the chicken was killed. Well, I don't know if the chicken was baby.
We don't know. Okay. Whatever.
All right, Nicole, which was more popular, the first one or the second one? One was liked 181 times. The other one was liked only 23 times.
I seem to be doubting Caleb's fan base. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say Caleb.
Ding, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Okay, you're on the board, Nicole. You finally got one right, okay?
So people love Caleb more than they love goats.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Okay. All right. Here is round 4, Nicole. A woman named Lisa says, messed up, dumbasses. First, y'all don't send Sandra home. Then you send Caleb home. Wrong moves, and y'all will see soon enough. Looks like the girl's getting rid of those boys.
Yeah.
Okay. That's an angry Caleb comment. And then we have a Sandra comment. Voting on which animals to murder as part of a game? The animals did not sign up for this game to win $1 million. They need to be off limits. Throwing caged chickens off a ship into the water was too much. If this game is too intolerable for the contestants to go without meat for a month, it needs to be canceled or they need to only allow vegetarians on this show.
I have so many comments on that I'm going to keep to myself, but
one of these was liked 75 times. The other comment was liked 4 times.
I'm going to say that it was the first one because it was less crazy.
That was the one that was liked 75 times?
Yes.
Nicole, you have to remember that the more crazy it gets, like, people are like, yes!
What? Only vegetarians need apply.
I can understand that you shouldn't be allowed to, you know, slaughter an animal, but, like, every show that you watch, somebody's eating meat somewhere along the way in the production of the show.
And, like, on The Bachelor, they go out on dates, they're eating meat.
Yeah.
They're not killing it, but they're still eating it.
Yeah. Last one, Nicole. Round 5. Round five.
I already lost.
Okay. This is from Regina, who says, well, Caleb was seen on BB. They knew he was a serious challenge. I suppose they thought, better get rid of the guy because they knew he was a known beast in challenges. They were afraid he would win. Go Team Caleb. Okay? And then this is the Sandra comment from a woman named Rita, who says, they don't need to kill animals on the show. They are not starving, and they are given food. I mean, they are just there for 39 days. They have enough fat to live on for that. If Sandra is hungry already, she needs to go home and eat. She sounds like she would have been one of the Donner Party. The first one to say, let's eat them. Okay, Nicole, one of these was liked 106 times. The other was liked 0 times.
Oh, my goodness. Like, they really think that there's just like a plethora of food for everybody?
Yes.
You know, it was a crazy thing to say. I'm going to say it wins.
Which one? The Donner Party?
Yeah, the Donner Party.
Ding, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Okay. Oh, my God.
All right, Nicole, 40%.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, not a winner.
Not a winner today. Not a winner today on the outrage game. Always fun to check in, were people more mad about Caleb going home or Sandra?
I love that they actually like take the time to, you know, log on and go to the CBS page to write about their disdain about what happened.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook is an outlet like that.
Yeah.
In the scheme of things, if it's doing more harm than good, but people feel like, hey, I'm upset about this, let me go to the Facebook.
Yeah.
Look, that Facebook is the great social experiment, Nicole. Forget Survivor. Okay, so, Nicole, so much fun to have you back here. You were in rare form.
I had a good time.
Good.
I'm going to start interior decorating now. Yes. I'm really inspired.
Okay, good. Just like you'll be the new Brad Culpepper, your hero.
Yes.
I love antiquing and I like to decorate.
And Nicole, as the podcasting queen, you've redeemed yourself.
And the queen stays queen.
It's me and Sandra.
She's a little devil, that one.
Stop! That is so creepy. Stop it.
Okay, so do you want to stick with your hashtag, WWND?
Well, you know, you're the boss, so do you think there's a better one?
There probably is.
There probably is.
But no, that's what people have been using for this whole podcast.
But
so.
we have to know if they got to the end.
Okay, so what's the end hashtag?
Creepy little devil.
Creepy little devil. Yeah.
She's a little devil, that one.
All right, that's fine. We'll go with that. Okay, of course, I also want to say thank you so much to our newest patrons who have come on here at the start of the Survivor season. Of course, if you like hearing from Nicole, being a patron is one of the best ways to do that other than following her Instagram stories.
Yes.
But we do about a 40-45 minute podcast every week. We call it the Patron 5 for 5. I made last week's edition. I believe it was Patron 5 for 5 number 44. That is available for anyone to listen to for free. If you go to robhasawebsite.com/patron, in addition to that, I also do a monthly show that's about 2 to 3 hours long where I take phone calls from all of the patrons. We have so much fun in the Patron Facebook group as well. Very excited to see so many of the patrons next week at the live show that we're going to be doing. So looking forward to that. Nicole, are you sorry? Do you have FOMO about the live know-it-alls next week?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real bummer that I am not going to be able to go.
Okay, well, I'm sure you will see plenty of pictures in the Patron Facebook group.
Yes.
Okay. So all that and much more. Check it all out. Plus, there's all sorts of discounts and benefits on our audiobooks and stuff that we do when you become a patron. So check that out at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And even if you just want to take a look at it, we got like a 4-minute video about everything I do behind the scenes at the podcast. If you want to check that out all on the Patron profile page. All right, Nicole. I feel like we're off to a great start here in this new Survivor podcasting season.
Yes, I actually enjoyed watching the show.
Okay, well, why do you say it like it's such a shock?
No, because, I mean, I really liked it.
Okay, good. Were the boys into it?
Dominic was a little bit into it.
Yeah, what was he interested in?
The goat.
the goat. Yeah. Yeah. It's weird when you watch it with him. It's like the animals, like it really, like those like animals, especially like in the 1 or 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a good thing that they didn't kill the goat, because that would have been very traumatizing if you would have watched that.
He also liked when they went fishing. That very much impressed him for some reason.
Why? What did he say?
He says, "Ah, oh, they're fishing."
Yeah.
And then he said it a few times that he liked the fishing.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I said, "Oh, should we take you fishing?" He's, "Oh, no."
No, no. I took him on Saturday. I went and I said, I had this great idea, and I took him out on a paddle boat.
Mm-hmm.
I rented a paddle boat.
Yes.
Very
which
uncharacteristic.
Is when he told me this, that he did this, I was floored.
And we were out on the paddle boat and we were in the middle of this lake. And I said, "Dominic, isn't this great? Look at us." And he's like, "I think we should go to the park now, Dad." I was like, "No, this is good, right? We're doing this." He's like, "Yeah, we should go to the park now."
You know, he does that a lot. He plays soccer now, and I took him to his first soccer practice, and he was like really reluctant to go.
Mm.
And I said, "Come on, you gotta play." And he's like, "No, I want to go on the swings." I said, "No, we're going to play soccer. You got to kick the ball." So he like storms off, kicks the ball, and he goes, "Okay, it's time to go."
Right. And he'll tell us like, "I think you need to take me to the toy store to get new Legos today."
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to take me to go get ice cream. My knee hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm also excited tomorrow because the repair person is supposed to come and fix my air conditioning here in the studio.
Yeah. It's pretty sweaty.
It's pretty sweaty in the studio. Over 80 degrees in here right now.
It's hot in her.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm also looking forward to that. All right. So, Nicole, anything else you want to tell people to check out? Reach out to you, come up with names for
yes,
Nicole's Twitter handle.
I need a new Twitter handle.
What about the long version of CPR? You like that? No?
That's more for you.
That's more for me. All right. Anyway, so looking forward to all of that and your comments on robhasawebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye, guys.
He's a little devil, that one.